heading in a little different direction this morning. So the gentlemen up there, they do not know my text, but please join me in John chapter 4. This is one of the passages that we use this week to speak of our storyline, as Blakely and Derek gave to you. It was our theme. And I'd like to expound on that a little bit and speak of some of the things that took place and in their impact. But John chapter 4, verse 24, just one verse for you. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word and our understanding and hearing. The storyline theme that we used this week was teaching us that God's story is written from creation on through until the time of his second coming and then on into eternity. But then the merging of our story in his and how we are affected and impacted by the things of in our life. The reason I chose this verse, as I said, it was one of the passages we used this week, but more specifically, I want to bring out to you here this idea of worshiping in spirit and in truth. It's incredibly important that we as Christians understand this teaching that John has of worshiping in the spirit. And that can only be done properly as it's done in the truth. Why did I pick that to be the passage for our message today? Two reasons. One, the work of the Spirit. As they refer to, the Holy Spirit was at work this week in an incredible way. As I said, I've been on mission trips. I've been on a lot. And to see the Holy Spirit working among 70 individuals, some in a very encouraging, nurturing, worshipful way, building up, affecting, but I think also for some very convicting, because there was some young people there on that mission trip that we learned come from a very, very challenging background. And it was the first experience they had in a mission, in an event like this. And they didn't quite know how to act, and quite know how to conduct themselves. And so there was the Spirit working in conviction, and there was also conversations between the different groups because there were some interactions that were not proper. And so the Spirit was working amazingly. Within our own team, I'll just not mention any specifics, but I'll let them tell their story as they would. But one of the things I love to see going on a mission trip is to watch the individuals and see how the Spirit will be working and moving them to mature them, to convict, to encourage, whatever it might be. And we've seen that done in so many ways. But this trip was incredible as we watched not only the young people, but we adults. You know, I don't want to embarrass Derek and wouldn't for the world, but, you know, to see a man up here in tears trying to tell you the story of something going on in his life is, and that wasn't the first time. I mean, we cried a lot this past week of the emotions just incredible coming out. Individuals who are very quiet and somewhat withdrawn and, you know, just very quiet, peaceful little people roaming around trying to find one of those 70s they can hug. Individuals who are quiet and timid and saying, yeah, let me do that. And by the end of the week, just a totally different person. That's the Holy Spirit working. Two of the young people on our, as they said, they divided us up into six different teams, and they intermingled the churches, et cetera. So two of the little individuals, the young folks on my team, I didn't know who they were. And so when we were out working, they just jumped in and started working and started talking and started helping and just like okay, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Well, when I got back, their youth leader came to me, came to several of them and said, "What did you do with our kids?" That young man will walk into a room and he will never say a word. And he was out on the gym floor dancing. We did dance once or twice. If I hear that song one more time. I heard y'all did it in Sunday school this morning. I'm glad I didn't hear. They taught Irene how to do the church. What is it? The church clap. Anyway. And then one young lady, her name was Joni. We were painting. And I usually try to, you know, get the kids, because I'm too lazy, I'm not going to do it. Get the kids up on the ladders or up on the rooftop, you know, to challenge them a little bit. Well, I said, "Who wants to paint the eave of this house?" And Joni said, "I'll do it." I said, "Okay, great." I figured she had done it before. When I got back and talked to her youth leader, she had never gotten on a ladder. She had never painted before. And to say that she was up in the peak of that eave of that house, they were flabbergasted. And I said, "God will let you do amazing things. The Spirit working. The Spirit working." I read someone's Facebook page yesterday morning, maybe this morning, I'm sure, and said their lives will be changed forever because of this week. They asked us what we were expecting in the week. And my expectations were pretty small, and I really didn't have any other than waiting to see how the individuals would be changed by the end of the week. Because as I've said to some of you before, when a group goes off on a mission trip and they're affected, they're impacted, and you see the Spirit working in their life, they come back here and then we are all impacted. We will all be changed. This church will mature because this group went to Alabama. And lives will be changed, lives will be different. But this idea of truth, we were challenged a bit this week, a couple of different areas, interactions with other individuals, etc. But we went to a service, a church service, Wednesday evening, a very different type of worship service. And with all due respect to that church and to that pastor and to that event that Wednesday night, led to some conversations among our team, because it was such a very, very different service. And it was a service conducted, in my opinion, based on emotion. The preaching was good, but about 75% of the service was just very different and sought to drag and to pull everybody in an emotional state, in an emotional way. And our kids were challenged by that. And so we met that night and talked about it, and I said what they experienced and what they felt in that worship service was very real. But we also need to know the truth. We also need to be taught the truth. And we need to be taught what is worship and how is worship to be conducted. And so this passage here, Jesus says that we should worship in spirit and in truth. And so when we come into corporate worship like this, we are to be sensitive. We should open our eyes and our ears. Let the Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our ears so that we are in tune with what's being said, what's going on, and the Holy Spirit leading us in and through this service. But not just any manner of service. We are not free to worship any way we desire. I remember an individual telling me after I commented on a particular part of a worship service that, "Well, I just believe God would enjoy us doing that." Well, I asked the question, did he say that in his word? Did he say that he would enjoy that kind of thing in worship? Well, no, it's not in the Bible, but we just believe he would enjoy it. We are not free to do that. The Bible is not as clear as I'd like for it to be on what we are to do in worship, but we are to do certain things. In Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 gives you probably the most concise teaching on the whole on the worship service. We are to be given to the apostles' teaching. We are to be given in prayer. We are to be given in the breaking of bread. We are to be in fellowship with each other. Worshiping alone is great, and we are to do that. But we're also to come together to worship corporately. And so we talked about that and tried to help these young ones understand that there are stipulations and requirements to worship. And we are to do it in spirit, and we are to do it in truth. And we learned that this week. We learned, our kids, I don't think any of them ever witnessed the work of the Holy Spirit as they did this past week. I don't think they did. And they all grew incredibly through that experience. Was God pleased with what we did in Alabama? I think so. Are we changed by what we did in Alabama? I know so. The people in Alabama, were they affected? Yes. I met a dear lady named Miss Jackie, an incredible lady, had been in an accident and had surgeries and was disabled. Part of the team met a lady by the name of Miss Glass. Derek mentioned the principal at Alba Middle School. So we touched people, we affected people, and God was there in all of that. And so to try to put words on what we went through this past week, I have a hard time as well, Blakely. I do, because it was just overwhelming. And I'll be honest with you. I really didn't want to go. It just wasn't there. But God used several of these young ladies to convince me I needed to go. And they asked me if I'd go on the next one. And I will. Because it's overwhelming. Now, I know this is not the typical sermon I try to do on the days of communion. If you get an opportunity to go and serve, go. Locally, nationally, internationally. And there are so many different ways to do it. But make sure we are doing it for the right reasons, the right motivation, and the understanding that God calls us to do these things, but we are to do it as the Spirit leads us to do it. And we are to do it according to the truthfulness of Scriptures as we are being taught. In all that we do. I stood back many times like a proud grandfather watching these. We said it several times. It's amazing when New Sterling shows up somewhere, stuff happens. Stuff happens. They taught all 70 of those folks that dance. And even the leader said, "We got to do that one more time before we leave." I said, "Please don't. I'm tired of that." I never did it. My knees won't let me do it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for this past week. The beauty that I saw in these, all that attended. And my apologies, Lord, that this is not the sermon that I typically do or we do prepare. Preparing for communion, but just needed to express the gratitude we have for what you did and are doing, and that you do hold us accountable, and you do teach us the truth. And according to your Holy Spirit, we will work and worship according to truth. In Jesus' holy name, amen.